Thank you, ladies. Let's all stand together. Grab your Bibles. Let's all stand together. Turn to Jonah chapter 2, please. Jonah chapter 2. We've been going through Jonah for a couple weeks. Last week we spoke about the resurrection, but we're going to look at Jonah chapter 2 this morning. Well, let's read the 10 verses here before us, and then I'll let you be seated. Jonah chapter 2, let's start with verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, a couple weeks ago when we were going through Jonah, where we left him was he was a little bit spiritually dead, and so he got chucked overboard, and the mariners had a revival, and he got swallowed by a great fish. And so now he is in the belly of this fish. He decides it's a good time to start praying. Verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine afflictions unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning, the time we have here, the short time we have left. I pray you'd bless and help us to be encouraged. And Father, help us to stay close to you and not have to Jonah got himself into. And I pray that you would just help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When last, as I mentioned before, we left Jonah, he was fleeing from God, which led him to end up in the belly of the fish. Of course, as what happens with a lot of people, now that he's in the belly of the fish, he has a bit of a change of heart. He decides now it's time to call out to the Lord, the very one he had been trying to avoid for a while. By the way, it's funny. You look at Jonah chapter 1, God speaks to Jonah, and Jonah goes the opposite direction. In Jonah chapter 2, God speaks to the fish, and the fish says, yes, sir, and does exactly what God says. Now, he desires to get God's help out of a situation that he had gotten himself into. He should never have been there in the first place. So now he sends God what I like to call a spiritual 911. He's been ignoring God all this time, and now the problems got to him. Here he is in the belly of the fish, and he grabs his phone. Doot, doot, doot. You know, God, I need your help. Well, where was he before? When people get in trouble, what do? They usually call 911. That number stands for immediate help. Something drastic is happening. Something major is going on. We need help. People call 911 for a lot of reasons. I was reading. Some people call for the wrong reasons. Last October, a man called 911 to report that someone had stolen his Jell-O from his workplace refrigerator. By the way, that's important. February last year, I don't know if the man had been drinking, but he called 911 and told him he needed a cheeseburger. Another guy called 911 the same month and said, hey, the workers at McDonald's are ignoring me. They won't help me. That's not what 911 is for. 911 is for a very dangerous and serious situations. Spiritually speaking, most of us treat our relationship with God as nothing more than a spiritual 911. We don't listen. We're not really close to him. But as soon as something starts to go south, we pick up our spiritual cell phone, and we ask God for his help. We don't think of God except in the case of emergency. Some serious situation happens, and all of a sudden, God, here I am, I need you. We think of God like a fire extinguisher, only to be used in case of emergency. That's not what God desires for us. God does not want us to treat him as a 911 call recipient. God would prefer that we are closer to him than that. And so this morning, in the few minutes that are left, I want to talk to you about how to avoid spiritual 911 calls. Now, by the way, there will be times in our life when things happen outside of our control, and we are close to God and we love him, and God wants us to bring our needs to him. There's no problem with that. I'm talking about when we don't stay close to God, we're not there, we just wait for something horrific to happen, then all of a sudden, now I want to make that call to God. First of all, I want you to notice the cause of his 911 call. The cause of his 911 call. Verse 1 of Jonah says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. One of the causes was he waited until the consequences of his actions or decisions had arrived. Isn't that usually what happens to us? What we do is we don't follow the path that God has set for us. We don't look, Jonah's path was arise, go to Nineveh, that's a great city, and cry. Tell it what I'm going to tell you to tell them. And Jonah said, no, I'm going to go the opposite direction. And then he doesn't want to have anything to do with God. And now all of a sudden, due to a storm and due to all the things that's happened, now he's in the belly of the fish. And now he says, yep, I'm going to get a hold of God now. By the way, that's not what you want to do. Because what, now God may help you out of that situation, but there are things that are going to happen that are going to scar you for your life. So let's not wait until the consequences arrive. It's easy to ignore prayer when things are going well. It's easy to let that distance between us and God grow when things are going well in our life. But there's going to come a time when we want God's help or when we need God's help, we might want to wait, get close before the consequences arrive. By the way, if we stay close to him in the first place, we won't need to call him. So don't wait till there's a consequence. Look at the next verse. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And in another verse, out of the belly of hell I cried I. He waited until his life was in misery. I don't understand how we can live like that. I don't understand how we kind of put God on the shelf sometimes. And we wait until there's misery in our life and there's pain from what we're doing. And then that motivates us to call God. Let's not wait, okay? Let's not wait until we are miserable. It's amazing how much we can take because we get so used to ignoring God, we get so used to doing our own thing, and we get so used to the consequences that slowly creep into our life, and things get worse and worse and worse, and pretty soon we're taking something God never intended for us to take. It's like the old story we've all heard before. How do you boil a frog? If you throw it in hot water, the frog will jump out. But if you put it in cool water and you slowly but surely heat up the temperature of the water, the frog will get comfortable to the point where when it's boiling, it's too late for him to get out and he'll boil to death. It's amazing how much. You think Jonah did? I'm amazed that Jonah didn't start praying when the situation was like, chuck me overboard. I mean, he actually was okay with that. He waits until he's overboard and swallowed, and then he says, hey, it's a good idea. I'm in misery. Let me pray to God now. He waited until he was in misery. Another verse, he says, then said I am cast out of thy sight. He waited until his relationship with God was severed. And by the way, that's where it all begins. You can trace your problems to a lot of things. And things come into our life, but if you really put it at its root, where it all starts, it starts when our relationship with God was severed. It's severed. We all need help for situations in life, but whenever we want that help, the first thing we need to look at is, how's my relationship with God? Because if that doesn't get restored, if that doesn't get right, the problem may look different, but it's still a problem. So we see the cause of Jonah's 911 call, all of the nonsense in his life. By the way, let me throw this verse at you. Proverbs 28, verse 9, it says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's pretty heavy. Remember the first time I read that verse, I'm like, huh? Let me check that one out again. You see, if we ever get to the point in our life where it's like, I don't want to hear what God has to say, God says, you know, when you pray, I ain't listening. It all starts when we're like, you know, Lord, I'm ready to listen now. By the way, it's better to do that before all the misery comes. So we see the cause of his call, I want you to see number two, the correct 911 call. It's not wrong to come to God in times of emergency. Just don't let it be the only time you come. Jonah did have a couple things right when he went ahead and made that 911 call. First of all, he came with the right attitude. He said, yet I will look again towards thy temple. If you remember when Solomon built the temple, one of the things he had told him, Lord, if we get in trouble or we're disobedient to you and we get into captivity, we start having problems, if we turn towards thy temple in prayer, hear us. What's Jonah saying? Lord, I'm coming with the right attitude. I'm going to look again toward your temple. What's the right attitude we come to God when we're having trouble and we need that 911? We come obediently. We have to come to God with the attitude, especially if it's self-inflicted, Lord, I'm coming to you, I need your help, and I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. Don't just come to God and say, look, I'm in misery, get me out of here. I'm in the belly. Can you help me get out of the belly of this fish? I'm miserable down here. Well, you're neglecting the whole issue. Why were you down there in the first place? You ought to come to God and say, Lord, I'm here. I understand why I'm here. And Lord, I am going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to listen to what you have for me so I can get out of here and never come back again. We call that chopping at the root. Yesterday we had someone come over. They did a little work around the house, and there's a tree in the back we had dead, and they just chopped it off, but the stump and all the roots are still there. Now, fortunately, it's dead, so it'll come out later. But see, that's what most of us do with the problems in our life. Now, you know, I don't like this here. Let me chop this off. The roots are still here, and those roots are still going to bear bad fruit. We have to be willing to say, hey, what am I going to change? Am I going to come to you, Lord? I'm coming with the right spirit. Yes, I realize I've gotten some problems and I've got some troubles here, Lord, and I need your help, and I'm willing to do what you want me to do to fix the situation. He came with the right attitude. If we're not willing to listen, God's probably not going to be willing to help. By the way, parents, we're not helping our children when we constantly bail them out of their nonsense. We just have a generation of children that are just spoiled little brats. Every time they get themselves in a situation because of the way they live, mom and dad just like, well, here, let me bail you out. I'm not bailing. Look, our kids, I love you, but I ain't bailing you out if you get yourself in a situation. I'll pray for you, but I'll show you the right direction, but dig yourself out. You got to change. And it starts with our little kids. By the way, not my kid. My kid is perfect. You know, your kid comes home from school and whines about what's going on. It's like, they're picking on my kid. Really? You might want to get the, don't, you're, just, we just spoil them. And their whole life, they're just, every time I get in a problem, dad or mom are going to bail me out. No. Do right. God's just not going to bail Jonah out. Oh, I'm sorry, Jonah. Here, let me have the fish spit you out on some on a Hawaiian island. You can take a couple weeks off. Okay, you remember what happened when he got spit out? It's like the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Now, are you ready, buddy?" By the way, I guarantee you, he did not look good. You tried being in digestive juices for a few days. That's probably why the Ninevites took the message pretty good. Jonah walked in and said, all right, church service, here we go. 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. Thanks for coming. Hope to see you next Sunday. And he left. That was it. He probably looked horrible, and they're like, man, you know? Have the right attitude. Have the right spirit. He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He didn't come and whine because, you know what? He knew whose fault it was. He didn't blame. I'm going to come. Why? Well, wait a minute. Why are we in this situation at first? I know it's my fault. By the way, we hate to say that. It's always somebody else's fault. As we talked about with the children, you start that off with your children right away. And we just, they're picking on my. No, they're not picking. This, whose fault is it? Stand up and say, it's me. It's me. If someone won't take responsibility for what they've done, they're never going to get help. It's me. Yeah, but you don't understand. I know, I understand. But God wants us to take responsibility. And Jonah's like, you know what, Lord? It's not you. By the way, it's never a God problem. God's okay. God's good. Okay? There's an issue. It's us. Okay? And it's funny how we blame God sometimes. By the way, be thankful that we're not Mormons, and we think that we become gods and we're our own planet, because you wouldn't want to live on my planet. I'd be a god, and someone would say, oh, look what you did. I would say, you really want to know what I can do? Clean up on aisle 5. Brother, that wouldn't work very good. Are you with me? Okay. Hey, God's very merciful. But let's come with the right attitude. Lord, I understand where the problem is. I'm willing to listen to you, Lord. I know it's not your fault, Lord, and I'm not going to blame you. And then he comes with the right motive. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He says, Lord, I'm going to keep my promises to you. You know, you ever see the jailhouse religion? I'll serve you, Lord, and you get me out of jail, I'll be a missionary to Antarctica, and I'll win all the Eskimos to Christ, and I'll win the penguins too. I think the story you told me, John, is when they get out of jail and they have a place where they can leave their magazines. And John's saying he was leaving and he's looking there, and all these magazines of these men that were getting released, and there's all their Bibles. The Bibles were good enough when I'm in jail, but now that I'm out, Lord, I don't need you anymore. By the way, you know what that means? They'll get that Bible back someday. But that's how we are. Let's have the right motive. God expects us to keep our promises. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that thou hast vowed. Now, I don't know what vows Jonah had, but maybe his vows were, I'm going to serve you, I'll be your prophet. And he got off. He says, Lord, I'm going to be fine now. I'm going to do what you want me to do. By the way, it's good to do that before you're in the belly of the fish. So he had the right 911 call. We must hasten. And then let me give you number three. Let me give you some tips to help you. The cure for 911 calls. You know what the best 911 call you'll ever make? Is the one you don't make. I'd prefer not to call 911. Because when you call 911, there's already something bad going on. The best call is not to make the call. Remember, several months ago on Sunday night, we had a message about the best decision to make, how to avoid the drama in our life. You know how you avoid the drama? Remember the story of David? He numbered the people, which God had said, don't ever number the people. That's sin. And God said, well, you sinned. Here's your three choices. The first choice was 3 years of famine. The next choice was 3 years of David running from his 3 months of David running from his enemies, or 3 days of the judgment of God. And David said, I'd rather be in the judgment of God. Bad call. 75,000 people, I think, died. But you look at those three choices he had and said, which was the best one? None of them. None of them were good. You know what the best choice was? The choice over here. Don't number the people in the first place. That's the one we avoid. You know, when in our lives, when it comes to God tells us something, here's our option. God says do this or don't do that. Here's our options. Obey, disobey. That's simple. And there's a very good choice there. You know what the good choice is? Obey. It's simple. That is an excellent choice. The bad choice is disobey. Once we disobey, now we have the consequences, and it's like now we have all these other choices. None of them are good. We have to choose the best of the worst, because the best choice was obey, and we bypassed it. It's like your car. The best thing is to change your oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles. Not to wait until there's smoke coming out of the engine and there's that red light that's on, that's a bad decision. Preventive maintenance is best, right? Hey, I'm taking care of the car. It's going to last for 150, 160, 200,000 miles because I took care of it. Not to wait until it's like, hey, we're out of oil. Let's put some in. Man, you've damaged the engine already. That's how most of us live our Christian lives. We're running on no oil. We're doing our own thing. We wonder why the engine's smoking. So how can we avoid these 911 calls? Very simple. You say, is this going to shatter the earth? No, it's not. A, or not, the first one underneath there, listen to God immediately when he speaks. Say, what would have been the best 911 call for Jonah? Here it is, Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Verse 2, and Jonah got on his horse and went. Okay, it's not what happened. That would have been maybe the story would have been better. By the way, this story doesn't even end well. That's the best choice. What's the best choice? Stay close to God, do what he says in the first place. When God speaks to us, listen to him first. The best illustration I ever had of this years ago, We were a Cambodian church in the early days of the church, and there was a locally, there was a Cambodian youth conference, so we were kind of new at this. We were a Cambodian Baptist church, so pastor sent me there with a couple of our teenagers, and they had a question and answer session, which was kind of ridiculous. And one of the teenagers there was trying to debate with this pastor leading it that was okay to be immoral as a teenager. And this guy's trying to talk to him, and the kid's not getting it. And some other guy raised his hand and said, I can explain it. And I'll never forget what he said. He goes, it's like a radio. He goes, I can explain your problem, son. He goes, it's like a radio. Now, you tune into a station, a Long Beach station, you can hear it pretty strong because you're right there. He goes, but what happens is, start driving away from Long Beach. The farther you get from Long Beach, the harder it is to hear that station. Until eventually you're so far from it one day, you can't hear it. When we used to drive to Washington, now we have satellite radio. You know, middle of the night, you can't hear. But we would drive, and I would try to get a radio station to listen to something, you know, on the way up there, and everybody's asleep in the car, and I'm trying to stay awake, and I would find something I want to listen to, some talk show or something, and I'd listen to it, and then we're driving. All of a sudden, I can't hear it anymore because we're far away from the station. And he said, son, that's your problem. He goes, you can't even hear common sense about this issue because you're so far from God, you've quit hearing him. Isn't that what we do? We don't obey him immediately when he speaks to us, and we don't stay close to him. Hey, stay close to God. We're as close to God as we want to be. James tells us, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Say, I just don't feel close to God anymore. You know why you don't feel close to God anymore? Because you're not taking steps to be close to him. It cracks me up sometimes. People maybe will miss church for a while and says, you know, I'm just not being fed. When you say that, what you're saying is you're not eating. I'm eating. That shows, yeah. I'm just not being fed. Listen, I know where my hands are. I know where my mouth is, and I can find food. That's the problem. We're not feeding ourselves. We're moving away from God. And when we move away from God, we're going to need a 911 call. Hopefully, we'll stay close to him. Another reason, another cure for 911 calls is let's make sure we have the right human relationships. You see, whenever we have problems, it doesn't just affect us, it affects those around us. You know what? I'm amazed in chapter 1 that the mariners were, they were trying to get right with God. They're making sacrifices. They're making vows. The only thing they didn't do is take an offering. And it wasn't because of Jonah. But in most cases, you know, it doesn't work that way. What happens to us affects others. And we need to be very careful about that. We don't live in a vacuum. By the way, the people in Nineveh that God wanted him to reach, they were waiting. Now, we're glad the whole city allegedly got right with God and repented. What about the people that may have died the time that Jonah wasn't there? And I would encourage you this, remain spiritually alert. Remain spiritually alert. It's sad that as Jonah got in the ship to run from God, you know, now let me explain. A mariner is somebody who does this for a living. These guys were professional seamen. Okay, they saw all the storms. These guys didn't get seasick when it got a little bit choppy, okay? These guys lived on the ocean. And this is what they did. And you know what happened to these guys? They were afraid. When the guys that run the boat for a living are afraid, that's the time to be afraid, okay? You know, if you're flying in a plane and the captain starts screaming, it's probably a good time to get nervous. Are you with me? Okay. These guys are freaking out. They do it for a living. They're like, good night, we're going to go down. And here's Jonah. His spirit, he was so spiritually dead, he didn't even sense the problem God was bringing, and the unsaved mariners did. These guys were up there having revival with their gods. I mean, I don't know what they were doing, but they were having religious services. And Jonah's at the bottom of sleep, at the boat, dead asleep. He wasn't alert anymore. You see, when we lose our spiritual alertness, the things that could cause problems in our life, we don't catch them. If we're not careful, it comes in, and all of a sudden now we end up in the belly of the fish. What's the point? The point is this. I'm glad God is there for the times we have trouble in our life. And by the way, if you're having trouble, I don't care if it's self-inflicted or others inflicted, go to God and go now. The point I'm making is this. Let's avoid a lot of those. Let's not have all this self-inflicted drama in our lives. Let's stay close to God so those times we're going to God, it's things that have happened in our life that are outside of our control. Because when we go to God with those problems, the first thing he's going to say is, you got to fix it. Why don't we fix it ahead of time? Let's avoid the drama that Jonah didn't. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.